Welcome to Trapping Across America, where fur brothers meet every week. Where we're still allowed to be men, and we're proud to be from the land of the fur and the home of the brave. Welcome to Trapping Across America. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and Cindy. Say hi.
Good evening, everybody.
And I'm going to be doing an interview tonight with Jeff Dunlap. The topic tonight is all Jeff's idea. He's the one that wanted me to do this, so it all goes back to Jeff. Just kidding. Actually, I asked Jeff to. But we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. Before we get into, I'm not going to have any type of rant tonight because the interview went very long. I think it's like an hour and 16 minutes. So we're not going to do very much before that. But there's a lot of rumors going around like right now about fur prices dropping. And this may be true to a point. But guys, no one knows that yet because there hasn't been a wild fur auction internationally. And one thing to keep in mind, or two things really, before you get really, really nervous about all this. The demand in Russia and China is very high. They have money. Because our dollar's a little weaker, that means the exporting the fur to them even makes it a better deal for something they want. So the demand's there. They will figure out a way to get that fur there if there's a way for them to make money, and there is. The second thing is the weather this winter has been horrendous for trappers. I was talking to Gerald Smith today. I was ordering some stuff from him. And he was saying it was 9 below where he's at in Minnesota, a little bit north of him is 40 below. He was saying how Iowa has been pretty much shut down for the most part all this season. So all over the Midwest, which is the big fur producing states, have been shut down. The Northeast, of course, anybody that lives in the Northeast knows you've been dealing with frozen ground and snow pretty much from the very beginning. So the places of the country that's driving the fur market have been really, really hindered in what they're catching. So there's going to be a short catch. I don't see how there's not going to be. And then you've got a high demand, even though there may be some road bumps right at the beginning because of the tax issue and stuff with the Chinese government. But all that will straighten itself out. So before you get too worked up, wait till a big auction comes. You may want to, if you're really worried about it, you may want to hold off to the second auction this year just to let everything kind of level out. But the biggest thing to keep in mind, if you don't have fur, you don't have anything to sell. If you let this deter you and all of this is more blown out of proportion than it is, you're not going to have anything to sell and take advantage of the prices we're seeing. Because if you're new to trapping, these prices are pretty unusual. Even if they cut them by 20 or 30%, that's still drastically better than we've seen in a lot of years. Before we get to the interview with Jeff, let me go ahead and take care of our sponsors because they're part of the reason we have Trapping Radio to keep the server space and everything going. Our first and oldest sponsor this week is Oki Cable and Trap Supply. The owner of this is Jeb. He's out of Oklahoma. He has about everything you would want for all your supply needs, lure needs. He's really big into boards. He's always running specials on Z-Traps. He's running that special right now. You can look at everything online at OKTrapSupply.com. You can give them a call at 918-429-4648. Like I said, Jeb's a really good guy. He's if you've never dealt with him, you'll walk away with that experience with a little warm fuzzy because he is a pretty cool guy. Now the second sponsor this week is Wildlife Control Supplies, a proven solutions for wildlife control. They deliver value, expertise, and products to the wildlife industry professional. Now, apparently, I have been saying the name wrong this whole time. I got an email from Alan, and I'm almost scared to try to say his last name now. It says, "Hi, Clint. I'm hearing I need to teach you how to say our last name with a smiley face. It has two symbols. Pronounced sounds like this." Obviously, he doesn't know my educational background. And I'm assuming I'm supposed to call it Hugh Oit from what he's saying. It's always been Alan Hewitt. But apparently it's Alan Hewitt. So if I still have it wrong, I'm trying. And he thinks this is pretty funny himself. But Alan is the leader in the wildlife side for the ADC guys. Anything you would ever need for your ADC business, they have that on hand. And you can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. And from now on, I'm just going to say Alan. Third sponsor this week is Blue Ridge Outdoor Supplies. Scott Painter's the owner of that. If you're in the East and you're wanting to get into coyote trapping, he's got a coyote video that's been on the market a little bit, but not that long. And it's actually canine trapping in big timber, river bottoms, open fields. It's filmed in Virginia in train in the East, which most people have to train in or trap in, I should say. So if you're looking for a really good video, I would definitely look him up on his website. He also has all kind of traps and supplies. He has his own lure business, and he's a fur buyer in the Virginia area. You can reach him at BlueRidgeOutdoorSupplies.com. You can give Scott a call at 540-298-7227, and he has a brick and mortar business in Elkton, Virginia. Our fourth sponsor this week is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. They have everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. I'm going to see what their specials are this week for trapping. They have Darren Freebro's Animalistics, Trapping Backwood Coyotes and Snow DVD. They have snares from Dakota Line, Duke No. 4 Coil Springs, Dunlap's Long Call Lure. Well, that's a little backwards, but okay. Dunlap's Long Call Lure, 11 gauge wire, dirt hole punches, 7x7 336 cable, and 100 foot rolls. That's a really good price at $8.95. So those are the specials F&T's running. If you need anything at all, they're like the Cabela's of trapping. They have everything, whether it's trapping, if you're a dog hunter, or you're a caller. And you can reach them at 989-727-8727 or online at fntpost.com. That's Foxtrot November Tango Post.com. Well, let's just go ahead and get to the interview with the one and only and the myth, Jeff Dunlap.
I'm with Jeff Dunlap from are you from Alpena?
Is that Alpena, Michigan?
And so what do you think about doing a podcast from the cradle of the Confederacy?
I wish I was there. Yankee on the outside, rub in the middle.
There you go. Well, you know, it's if people could see the Trapping Radio Command Post, I'm sitting in my Jeep with a sweatshirt and a hoodlum hat on to stay warm because it's the only way I can get decent quality by doing this over the phone. So
yeah.
Not as sexy as people probably think it is. I'm not Rush Limbaugh yet.
No, but you're getting there.
So, well, how's your season been going, man?
It went pretty good. Did pretty good on coon and not real good on rats, but, you know, it's just about like everybody else. The rat population's so low. Like 3 years ago, I caught 1,100, and this year I was lucky to break 200, you know, so you do what you can do with what you got.
Well, I mean, you just getting lazy or what?
Yeah, well, that too, but you hit them in all the same spots, and yeah, just, you know, marshes in the 80s that, you know, 20 guys would trap, and, you know, 10,000 rats would come out of them same marshes. There's only 300 rats come out of them anymore. You know, there's only, you know, if there's nothing there, there's nothing you can do. Well, except for, you know, go harder than the next guy, try and get, you know, 280 of them instead of letting him have half.
Well, that's going to bring us into our socialistic topic in a minute, so we won't go there yet.
Okay.
But do you think it's the numbers are down or just the competition has got so wound tight that there's just not a lot there?
There's been a gradual drop in the rat population since, you know, probably the late 80s, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And then, like, last year we had a drought, and that didn't help. And I don't personally know what's killing them. If it's, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. It could be, you know, 10 different things, but, you know, the bottom line is that they, you know, they're all gone. And in Michigan, we can use colony traps now, where a lot of times they used to have it where, you know, inexperienced trappers or whatever would go down there and set it, and they might catch two rats, but that same guy now, he sets it, he can catch five. And I'm all for using colony traps, but, you know, that when you're doing that, I mean, there's a, you know, price to pay for it. And, you know, when you're got low rat numbers and then, you know, beating them to death, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. Something's going to give.
Do you think the state will ever step in on that if they think the rat numbers are getting down, or you just think they wouldn't care?
I don't think they would care. They don't care. The you know, the beaver population in Michigan's, you know, been decimated. They, you know, all for, you know, for killing, you know, every beaver in the state, it seems like. Even some of the guys up in the UP in Michigan, they tried to get them to close the season earlier, and they wouldn't do it. And, you know, anybody that ever went down to a beaver pond that didn't have water no more, you know, I mean, there's nothing more dead looking than that. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I mean, beavers, you know, produce ducks, muskrats, you know, they got everything comes with them ponds, but not much goes there when they're dead.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so I don't think the state really cares. Well, you know, the fur, there's not no more real money in it for them, so I don't really think they really care about it.
Well, I know when I was out at Red's trapping in Iowa, we got to talking, and he made it very clear to me that I was not allowed to trap beaver because I was in his, that was part of our deal when I got to go out there. And I got to talking with him about his beaver, and he said that no one out there really traps beaver where his lines are at. And I couldn't believe that because everywhere I went, well, I won't say everywhere, but I would say 30% of the creeks that I stopped on, you could see either beaver sticks, beaver tracks, something like that. And what Red was doing is he would take two beaver per location and pull traps. And he would do that over a large, large area. And he farmed those beaver to where he can always just keep hammering big numbers of beaver without ever hurting his population. And it'd be nice, but there's no way to regulate that, I don't guess. Because you're not going to talk people into doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to do me a favor, man. Tell your dad I said hi. I heard he listens to the show a lot.
Yep. Yep, he does. He likes that.
And, you know, on that text that you sent the other day, I've got to ask you this. When you said it was as good as 17, was that show 17 you're talking about?
Yep. Show 17. That's a real good show. I listened to that probably 3-4 times. It's a real inspirational one. You know, anybody wants to get into the ADC business or any kind of business, it just kind of gives you basically, you know, don't be a wimp about it. Don't be scared. If you're not happy with what you're doing, jump into whatever you want to do and do it. You know, if you want to be a professional trapper, it don't work out in the end, especially if you're a young guy. It don't work out. You can go do something else, but you always got the pictures and the stories, and, you know, you're going to do something that most other guys, you know, just wish they could go do and never will, just like you talked about, you know. So that's a good show for guys to go back and listen to, I think, just, you know, your show 17. It's a real good show.
Now, that wasn't the one you were on, though, was it?
No.
No. Okay. So it was just me ranting and raving about being an entrepreneur then, I assume?
Yep. Yeah, and then you went into the, you know, about the, you know, trapping otters and CDR, double CDRs and that, but that wasn't, you know, necessarily the part I was listening to.
Well, let me ask you a question, since you're live in front of everybody and I won't edit this out.
I know. That's what scares me.
Just from your point of view, would you be interested if I did some more motivational type entrepreneurial get off your butt type stuff?
Yeah, I think it'd be good. I think, you know, a lot of times you can pop that in and listen to it. And, you know, a lot of times the trappers are all by themselves, and, you know, it'd give you something trapping to listen to, and, you know, it'd be motivational. And, you know, I mean, you never know when at the right time that might help.
All right. Well,
I think it'd be a good idea.
Well, I really enjoy doing those because that's just the way my brain works. So
yeah.
I've been on purpose not doing that just because. But when you sent that text, because I remember Norm said something about it, and I'm like, I think he's getting dyslexic because it didn't make any sense to me. the way you use those numbers, I'm like, well, who's 17?
Yeah, I told Norm that before. Yeah, I said he'd be bummed out about something, and I told him, you better listen to show 17, it'll perk you right up, Norm. I think he'd rather just call you and have you yell at him rather than do it on the radio.
I don't holler at Norm often.
No.
I do like picking on him, though. He sent me a thing on text. Let me see if I can pull this up. Hopefully I don't cut us off. I got tickled at him because it's when he sent it to me, I didn't know if he was saying this was me or what, but he just said he got a tickle out of it and sent it to me. He may have sent you the same thing, I don't know. It's what's the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket?
Sergeant Ernie, isn't it?
Yeah, but his real name.
I don't know.
I think it's like Harvey or something.
Yeah.
Somebody will post what it is. But it's got a picture of him where he's in, where from that movie, and he's pointing his finger at you. And it says, if at any time in 2013 I've annoyed you, whizzed you off, I'll say that, and said the wrong thing, suck it up, princess, because 2014 ain't going to get any better. And he sent me that, and I'm like, well, is he trying to tell me a message or what?
Yeah, that sounds like something I would send him.
Well, me and you have talked, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I think it's somewhat interesting the way social media, especially in all the tramping forums and different things like that. And, you know, I was talking on the phone, and I've heard some of the most outrageous things on the computer that, you know, no one probably would say to your face. And I'm not saying about you personally, but I mean, just people wouldn't act like that with another human.
Yeah.
You know, and it got me thinking, and I was like, you know, I need to do a show. And I started coming up with just crazy things. So I called you and I said, are you game? And there was dead silence on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, well, here I am.
So we gotta work on your see, what's the right word to put here? We gotta work on your crap, I can't think of the word I was just thinking of.
I can think of some, but I don't wanna throw it out there in case it's wrong.
Well, what I told you, and what we're going to talk about for a few minutes, is why are some trappers schizophrenic, socialist, border on communist, and just bitter? And that's what I'm going to put the title of this thing. So you're stuck with with all the negativity that's probably going to come from this.
Yeah. Most of that, I think, is, like you say, is coming off of, like, the internet stuff. You know, like the forums and stuff like that. And the thing is you never know when you're dealing with people. I mean, you don't know. I mean, that person can be on crack on the other end. I mean, you really don't know, unless you know them personally from conventions or, you know, that live down the street. You don't know anything about them. So, I mean, they could be crack addicts. They could be sitting there, you know, drunk out of their mind. You know, you really don't know what there's, you know, there's 100 different things that they could be. Mm-hmm. Of why they are basically internet tough guys and, you know, run their mouth about people and mad over nothing. You know, but, you know, the specific exact reason, you know, I don't know.
Well, to me, it's not just in this. I've seen it in other genres that I look at on the internet, and it's people, it's like people don't think there's any consequences at all to what they say online, and they do it from a point of being in their home where they know no one's standing there in front of them.
Yeah.
So they get about 10 foot tall, and you know, and they say some of the stupidest stuff, which to me drives me nuts, because if people could read some of the emails that I get from antis. You don't know how many times I've slept with my mother, my sister, which I don't even have a sister, that, you know, I must want to have sex with the animals, that I'm going to hell, that, I mean, all this just insane stuff. And you read it and you're like going, that's not a sane person.
No. No, it's definitely not.
And then when I turn around and someone goes, did you see what so-and-so said about you on Trapper Man or on Facebook or whatever? And, you know, and I eventually get around and I click on it, and I'm like going, there ain't no difference between that and what PETA's doing.
You know, and there's not. And then some, and it's worse with the trappers because, you know, we're all supposed to be on the same side.
Exactly.
Why them people, why they act like that, you know, it baffles me. I think about it. Because the thing is, it's not where, like, if I don't agree with using, like, the big pans that you use.
Which you don't.
But I mean, you wouldn't have a problem with me saying that. But that doesn't mean I don't like using the big pans that you like and then personally attack you. I mean, there's no reason for me personally attack you because I just don't agree with one aspect of what you do, you know. I mean, it is crazy. It don't make no sense to me. You know, why you tear down a trapper that is just out there trying to do the best he can.
Right.
And I think that, you know, some of them guys, they get mad because they think if I had the money to go out of state, I could do what he does. If I had the money, if I could do this, or if I could do that. Well, you know, it's like we talked about that show 17. I mean, that's what it talks about during that show. I like it so much, is don't do the F thing. Just go do it. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, I got bills to pay. But I mean, when I'll be going out of state here in a week. You know, I got bills I got to pay while I'm gone. I'm not rich. I never have and never probably will be unless, you know, I find a bag of money underneath a bridge somewhere. You know, I'm driving a raccoon. But, you know, this is what I want to do. And, you know, there's no reason why other guys can't do it. Just don't go to the movie. Don't rent DVDs. You know, save your money throughout the summer when you're working. I mean, there's no reason anybody else can't go do it. They don't have to be jealous about anything.
Well, that's true. And I think that's going to hit on the bitter part when we kind of discuss that. But you know, you don't use big pans, correct? Because Harry's told me you've said you don't see any reason in it.
No, I didn't. I never said that. I said that I didn't use them for I'm like gray fox and stuff. But I didn't say I wouldn't use them for anything, like especially water trapping. I could see a big benefit to them.
Well, but you don't use them though, right? You don't.
No.
Well, see, I still love you, Jeff.
So, I know you do.
and it doesn't matter to me, you know, it really it doesn't hurt my feelings that someone doesn't use them. I mean, I don't even sell the freaking things.
No, I don't.
You know, I just use them. And, you know, I try to, and, you know, someone that does a site like mine where it's content-based, which we've talked about before, all that is me trying to express what I've seen on my lines and what's worked and what's not and, you know, the problems I've had and the things that somewhat work sometimes. And it's just putting information out that may or may not help somebody, you know.
Yeah.
But if someone doesn't agree with it, there's no reason to get mad about it.
No.
You know, I've...
I agree 100%.
Well, let's talk about the schizophrenic trappers. When I say schizophrenic, it's like bipolar. Because your dad has been in the trapping... I mean, you've been around the trapping industry longer than I have because of your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the fur market crashed, and every single, you know, well, I won't say every single, but at every single convention, most demos would say something about take a kid trapping. If we don't get new people in the industry, we're going to lose trapping. It's just going to fade away. We're all getting old. We got to bring in new blood. So, you know, and then from my point of view and your point of view as being a dealer at a convention, you know, there may be 30 different people at a national convention want you just to give them traps and lures and DVDs and, you know, what you're eating for lunch and everything else so they can go give it to a kid.
Yeah, they do. If it was 15 or 16 of them at the Nationals this year that come by my booth.
Right, you know, and that's playing off what our industry's been saying for 15 years. We've got to get new blood in the trapping industry, and everybody's agrees with that. I've never heard anybody till like 24 months ago ever disagree with that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been like one side of the bipolar. And then now...
Nobody says no that they don't want the kids. They just don't want all, you know, what they say is they don't want the people that are getting in it for the money. You know, that's, you know, but I mean, it's kind of going hand in hand, you know.
Well, but that's the new people that's, I mean, for the most part, I mean, when you get on a trapping form and you know, a 21-year-old or 16-year-old gets on a trapping form and has a question, it doesn't make sense if you want to bring, if you want to have, and I say kids for 21, and I don't mean that as offense, but younger people come into the trapping, and then there's 10 grown-ups that's been trapping for 20 years that basically do a computer body slam on the poor guy.
Yeah.
You know,
that happens every day on there, you know, and the thing is I understand partly why these guys aren't running the forums. They're just coming on to talk, and they want to talk trapping and see the good pictures. And they see a guy come on today that he asks, what size trap for a caillou? Well, what they don't see is a week later that you've accepted 300 more people onto this site, and like on Facebook, it gets down far enough, especially like on your phone, sometimes it starts lagging if you don't start. Well, they don't see that. So a week later, there's two more guys that ask the same question. Well, they get frustrated with that. But, you know, those are the guys that are going to keep trapping going, and because these kids aren't getting into it just for the money. I mean, they think you can make a few extra bucks, yeah, but, I mean, they're not trying to do this for a living at this point.
Well, I think we've made a turn in the trapping industry with the younger generation. Not all of them, but some of them, because, and I think social media has helped this a lot. You've got a 21-year-old raised in the country guy, likes being outdoors, likes chasing animals, you know, everything about it. Well, he can go deer hunting in some states. You can only take one or two deer.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not bevel. I mean, how many world record deer being killed every year, and it's probably not by younger people.
No.
So there's an outlet now they found that's a community that pats each other on the back when they do good on trapping. And I think that's brought a lot of the you know, the social media part has really drawn in trapping, because a lot of these guys without social media would never know there's trapping.
No. Because another thing, it's like, say on Facebook, it really does astound me about how many people are interested in trapping on Facebook. I mean, I know there's millions of people on there, but that is, in my mind, I don't even know, you know, you think of a million people with that. I mean, you can't comprehend how many people that really is. And, you know, but it's like, so many people, like, join my site. I mean, it's like, I keep thinking, where do these people come from? You know, and we have a lot of the anti trying to get on, and we search, and, you know, we got ways of looking to see, you know, try and keep it all cleaned up. But, I mean, it's unbelievable, and all, especially young kids. But what happens is they got to, like, say they're on my site. What they'll do is they'll have a couple of, you know, they work off, say, a farm. They have a couple of buddies that were raised on farms, but the other buddies don't know about trapping. Well, they join my site. Well, their buddies see it on their thing about trapping, or they're, you know, so they join, and then they're out doing it. So, you know, there's a real, you know, that's why it really seems to be picking up steam. Is like you say, with the social media stuff, you know, they see this, and then they get on YouTube, and they see their buddies watching a channel, so then they watch, like, Wolfer Nation channel, and, you know, they see this stuff, and they're a guy, and they've been, you know, has something to do with the outdoors, so it kind of sparks an interest in them, you know, because they want to be, you know, naturally have something to do with the outdoors. It's just in a guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's probably going to be the saving grace, because it's reached more people than anything else. But to me, I cringe every time someone asks a very simple, and that's what people forget. Every single person that traps started out at ground zero.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, absolutely at ground zero. And then and they go watch a video on YouTube, you know, somebody that's never really trapped a bobcat, and they get on there and they see me and Norm take, you know, 14 bobcats in a day.
Yeah.
They see the picture, they see the video and the snares and all that. In their mind, they think they can just go out and reproduce it. Then reality seems to hit them a little bit, that it's not always quite what you see on the video, because you don't know all the circumstances.
No.
And then they ask us a question because they're getting frustrated. And holy cow. I mean, we as trappers should, of all people we should be civil to, it should be other trappers.
Yes, because like with the new guys coming in, I mean, do I really think that at this point, if we didn't have no new trappers coming in, that tomorrow, I mean, anything can happen in any state, but nationally we're going to lose trapping. Anything can happen, but I don't think so. But what they're not seeing is the big picture, is that no, we're not, it's just not going to be a slam. But over the last 15 years, 20 years, because of the lack of the trappers or whatever, we are being regulated down because we don't have the numbers to stand up and say, we got this amount of people, we don't want to be regulated, where we can't use 220s on state land or, so, I mean, and even if a dog did get caught, if you got big numbers, you say, this was an accident, we're willing to work out something, but we're not negotiating it away. But if you don't have the numbers, you can't do nothing. You're nothing to the DNR.
Mm-hmm.
But say like in Michigan, say there's, say there's 1,800 people in the association. If you had 10,000 or 20,000, you get a bigger bite of the apple.
Well, it's just like Pennsylvania. You know, they're running excess of 10,000 members, and Pennsylvania is screwed up as their DNR or whatever they call that is. They listen to them because of the pure numbers of what it is. It's not like, I mean, here in Tennessee, there ain't 500 people. You know, TWRA, actually, because some of the guys are pretty good in TWRA, they listen to us and try to work with us. But from a numbers point of view, I mean, we're less than commercial fishermen. You know, we just don't have any pull besides we want to go do this. And you're right about the numbers.
Because if you could get the numbers, and then you get leadership in that have the attitude of Tony Howard and Ryan Schaefer and them guys down in the Louisiana Association. If you got to get numbers and that attitude, you're going to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Well, the other, to me, that's just one of the schizophrenic things that doesn't make sense to me is, we want kids, but when the kids show up, the kids are going to ask questions. And I'm not necessarily mean kids, just younger trappers.
Yeah.
And then you just, I mean, roll over them. And it's almost like you try to make them feel dumb so they go away.
Yeah.
and that doesn't make any sense. The other thing that seems schizophrenic to me, a lot of the stuff, and I'm going to say this personally because I know that you've had this said about you too, and so has a lot of other trappers. Jeff Dunlap's not a real trapper. He's a businessman. And a lot of people say that about me. But the schizophrenic part of that, most of the time the people that say that are selling to trappers. I mean, how schizophrenic is that?
it's like they're eating their own.
Yeah, if you have a trapping form and you're getting paid advertisement, that's a business. So to think that someone's not a trapper because they have a business is crazy. Or if one lure maker doesn't sell a lot of lures, but that's the way he tries to tear down somebody else, is he's a businessman, not a trapper. I mean, I would love to know what type of unicorn fairy dust that I can fart out to get all these animals to get in these pictures and videos for the last 15 years.
The thing is a lot of times when people are tearing other people down, they're not doing it, as to them people, to their face, or where they can, even respond. It's like, so it's like somebody else isn't going to jump up and fight my battles for me. So, there's nobody to respond to what they're saying, so they can just spew all the lies or whatever, and I don't, with the fur prices up, people buying lures, everybody would be too busy to be doing all this. There's animals out there to be trapped, there's lure to be bottled. Why fight each other? Wait till prices on fur go down and then fight each other. That makes more sense.
Because most trappers have been waiting, regardless of what they say, so they can go make a big lick one way or another. I'm not ashamed to say that my lure business is doing very well, and so are my DVDs. But it ain't always been this way, and it won't be this way somewhere down the future. So, it's not like it's changed who I am because I run a business. I mean, to me, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard. It's moronic, actually.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, the other thing is, you know, I mean, you start getting up in your 40s, you know, when you're 20 years old, 30 years old, 35, you're not, you know, most guys that are trying to be out, you know, pounding the ground trapping aren't really looking at the future. You get 60, 65, say when you get Blackie's age. Say Blackie had just stayed when as a professional trapper. He can't cover the ground like he did when he was 30 years old. You know, you got to start looking towards the future on stuff. You know, that's what a lot of guys, when they start getting in their 40s, and, you know, they call off for it, they start, you know, and got a lure line, that's what they start gravitating towards, is, you know, looking towards when you're 65 years old. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, you can't cover all that miles on the line.
You know, and I'll be honest with everybody, the last couple of years, because of the fur prices, except for when I go to Texas or when I go out of state and do trips, I don't get to trap as much as I used to. But you know, when the fur prices go back down and the sales aren't what they are, I get to go back doing what I wanted to do to begin with.
Yep.
But I can't not do it now and just go, you know, I really don't want that. I mean, that's one of those things that always drives me crazy because it, like I said, I want to know what this fairy dust is that I've got where I've got all these videos and pictures for, I mean, way before, you know, the people that say I Photoshop stuff, which is hilarious, but before that technology was there, they can see whatever they want to see.
Well, not only that, I mean, if you look at it on the aspect of when things were slow, you went out and talked to people and they put your stuff in their catalogs, and, you know, I mean, their sales have went up, so, I mean, you made a commitment to these people by them taking up space on their pages that you would have your product to them. So if you're off trapping and don't care nothing about that, I mean, that doesn't bode very well for a person either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, you know, you got to do what you have to do. You know, I mean, like you say, I mean, you know, most of the guys out selling lures and stuff, they got the pictures of what they did. You know, I mean, they did, you know, and I'm sure, yeah, every guy out there selling lures wants to go trapping. That's why they got into all this. You know, because they love trapping. I love it, you know. And I'm planning on going, putting a beat on some stuff down south here in about a week, so.
Well, like I said, the only reason I'm bringing this up, I don't know if people realize the destruction they can do. Not so much when they talk about, you know, business owners aren't trappers, but to the young people and the kids, hopefully if someone listens to this, they'll at least think about that. I answer sometimes up to 150 questions a day if I'm at home on the internet. When it's any, I mean, how many times can I really answer where does the trap go for a coyote? I mean, you want to talk about not wanting to hear that question again. But at the same time, that person is out there struggling trying to figure this out. And what does it hurt me to answer that question?
Nothing.
Nothing.
That was the business you chose to be in, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you don't have to. I mean, I guess it isn't, you know, lure business was the one, but, you know, I mean, if you want people to be successful and, you know, and do good and buy your product, I mean, you know, you got to help them. I mean, some people don't go by that, but I do. I was helping people when I wasn't selling nothing, you know? I mean, like I said in the last interview I did with him, you talked about before, that my dad told me when I got into this, the mistake he made was, is he didn't want to tell nobody nothing. You know, he learned a lot of it, you know, on his own. And, you know, and that, and he, where O'Gorman and all them would share what they knew, he wouldn't. And he told me, so if you're going to do this, you got to tell people, you know, pretty much what you know and help the young guys. And I just made up my mind, that's what I'm doing. And I don't care anybody say what they want about me or anything else, but, you know, when people put up questions on Facebook or whatever, I don't want to argue with nobody. I'll just, you know, I send the, you know, young guys messages and try and help them the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just going to keep pushing forward and help them, you know, with any amount of time that I have. You know, I'm like you, you know, busy doing trapping and making lures and doing all that, but in my spare time, you know, my wife's always telling me, why don't you put down that phone? Mm-hmm. And I just got one more question I got to answer for somebody. 3 hours later, she's in bed and I didn't even know she left. You know?
Well, that's the reason everybody, I've had a lot of people comment about my Bluetooth all the time. It's the only way I know how I can trap and talk. to Travers asking a question, you know, because I can keep doing what I'm doing. You know, and but
I laughed at you and Norm before because of that, and then 2 weeks ago I had to get one, so mine's disabled at the moment, but
well, let's talk a little bit quickly about trappers that are socialist borderline communist. And the reason I say that is it's almost like if someone, in you for example, and me for example, O'Gorman, a lot of these other guys, we trap when the fur prices were down and we trap when they're high. But we like to get max pay for what we do. And somehow there's a seems like a large percentage of trappers that want to look down on somebody that will at least be honest or open that they trap for money.
Well,
I mean, how is that not socialist? I mean, that's borderline communist. That means someone should do labor but not get paid very well for it. But I don't think any of these people are going into their boss and going, you know, I know the company's struggling right now, why don't you cut my pay in half?
No
one's doing that. So
no,
what's the difference between that and making fur, making money with fur? I mean, when I see, I'm assuming, this could be a rumor, I don't know, but I heard a couple of years ago that Phil Brown posted a check for $100,000 he made fur trapping.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I've never been so tickled for somebody in my life, because I never made that much fur trapping.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I have more power to him. Because I guarantee that he was out there pounding the ground before daylight and after dark to do that, you know. So.
Well, I mean, he if to do that type of volume, you're talking about work ethic. He should get paid.
I think he should, because he's doing that as a job.
Yeah.
You know, you're not putting making $100,000, you know, part time.
No. No, but it, you know, to me that it's just crazy. And it's the same about, you know, going back to a trapping business. You know, I give away, Wolfer Nation right now has got over 500 videos and blog posts.
Yeah.
I ain't never charged for one of them. We've got over, I counted up the other day, I've got 400 hours of my time tied up into trapping radio right now. I've never charged for any of that. But then when I charge for instruction or a school in Texas or for a video, you would think that I'm absolutely trying to rape trappers. You know, and I'm like, I just don't understand how, especially in trappers, this socialistic way of thinking has got into this, because it doesn't make sense. And it's, you know, and I'm going to say something that may make some people mad. I think if trapping is going to survive long-term short of ADC, we're going to have to start promoting this as it is a business or an industry, not a sport. I think that's very dangerous, because it's hard to justify a sport for what we do. But you can justify it because it's helping everything and it's an industry and there's jobs attached. You know, we don't need to be ashamed about making money.
No, I see the guys posting that about, you know, they wish the prices would drop, and they're on a different idea system than what I am. You know, I mean, I'm doing this for a living, and I, you know, the power bill's still got to be paid, whether muskrats are $2 or $14, and it's a lot easier at $14. And but even if they're just doing it as a sport, I mean, if somebody wasn't doing this necessarily where they had a living and they were going out setting traps and they had their whole line wiped out or they just had some MB stolen, I could see how they get on there and ran rave. I wish price just dropped. Everybody says stuff in the moment when they're mad or upset or types it or whatever. You know, I can understand. But to really feel that you wish the prices would drop, because a lot of these guys didn't go through it in 87 when it dropped. My dad was buying for Hudson Bay. They went and took their checkbook back. They were done. My dad says, you know, everybody at that time period, their lives were set up. You know, Ludi Shada, everybody was set up to, that they were going to be fur buyers and in the fur industry forever. Nobody thought it was ever going to end. So my dad, when the Hudson Bay was done, he says, well, I'm going to buy a coon. I'll pay $5. How back, you know, they got to be worth way more than that. he sold them for $2, and was he said he was lucky to sell them to a broker in New York. So, but that's the thing is that nobody realizes it could go to nothing. Mm. You can, you know, and I mean, and gas isn't going to go down in price. It's only going to go up. It's going to cost so much that if you can't make any back, it's going to put a lot of guys, especially young guys, out of the game. Are they going to go out on a date on Friday night with their girlfriend with that $50 in gas, or are they going to go trapping? We both know what probably a lot of them, which way they're going to go. They're going to go with their girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the age they're at.
And, you know, so. and it, to me, it's one of those. I guess the entrepreneur side of me is coming out just talking about this, but if somebody, let's just say there's a trapper out there that's half the trapper production-wise of Phil Brown.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's $50,000. Most trappers at a, you know, that we see, a $50,000 a year job is probably pretty good. You know, I know it would be in Dunlap, Tennessee.
Yep.
And, but for, say, 3 years, this trapper can go out and make $50,000 above and beyond what he was making. That could change his life. That could pay off his house. That could get him out of debt. That could do all kind of things. He could buy investments with it or different things. He could start a business. He could do all this type stuff. But it's only going to come around once or twice in our lifetime, the way the cycles of FERV been. Yeah. I don't want to see it go down until it absolutely goes down.
I personally don't want it to go down.
Ever.
I didn't kind of hit a little bump now, but I didn't even want that. But I'm glad it isn't what it was in 87. So, you know, I don't, you'd think that the people would, you know, and a lot of them have. I mean, the percentage that want it to actually drop, I mean, that's real low compared. Cause, I mean, you know, you've seen at the conventions this year, you know, the traps going on. Those weren't all new guys buying that. A lot of that was, you know, guys have been in the game for a while and buying, you know, where they had 10 dozen DPs and they bought another 5 or 10, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so, I mean, the guys that are in are, you know, a lot of them are taking advantage of. But, you know, you got some guys and, I know sometimes it gets disheartening, especially, you know, you go down to a muskrat marsh and, you know, you get there at 10 o'clock like in Michigan and nobody's there, and at midnight there's 25 other people show up, you know, and there's only 300 rats in the whole marsh. You know, I know it's disheartening. I mean, I wish, you know, it was, you know, rats were $20 and, you know, nobody else showed up there, but that's not reality. You know, most of the guys are going to quit at an earlier part in the season when it starts getting tough, and the guys that, you know, if they'll just stick it out, they'll be rewarded, you know. And I mean, you know, there's money to be made, and it's foolish not to make it. I mean, a lot of guys have been waiting a long time.
And, you know, profit's not a dirty word.
No.
I mean, no. It is not a dirty word. Everybody wants to do it.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, like you said, if people's jobs, they don't hope they get less. I mean, like the kids that are out, you know, if they're doing lawn care in the summertime or rake, and they ain't saying, well, I hope the next place only pays me half as much as I got at the last place. You know, nobody says that stuff.
Well, I mean, to me, I just don't know how to take that, except that's like socialistic thinking. I mean, it's crazy to me. But the last thing before we get to more positive stuff, you know, to me, there's some schizophrenia going on. You got some socialism thinking going on, and then you just got some plain, no other way to say it, just bitter. There's a lot of guys that are just bitter, and they go about, they spend so much of their energy trying to find something to tear other people down. And to me, that's such a sad thing, because that person is spending so much of his mental and energy and time when he could, if he took that amount of energy and time and drive, he could go do something instead of just put somebody else down, because putting somebody else down don't ever get you anywhere.
No.
I mean,
and the thing is, it never makes you look better to other people, you know. You know, people don't like, you know, a lot of times don't like to be around people that do that. You know, and I mean, it's not going to benefit you in any way, you know, but, you know, and people are, you know, I mean, like I say, most people aren't like that. Most trappers I come in contact with are real nice. But then, you know, I'm like Dad say, 99.9%. I mean, the great, best people you ever want to meet. But you get that 0.1%, and I mean, and they just are mean for some reason. I don't, you know, but I think that they would be, some people would be mean if they were, and if they were, if they love deer hunting, they would be mean to other deer hunters. I just think that that's their mentality, is they're just mean. You know, and my mentality isn't to tear other people down. So, you know, that's why I can't understand why they have that mentality.
Well, I mean, it's that mindset just doesn't make any sense to me. Like if Phil actually made $100,000, if what I heard was true, I'm so glad that he made $100,000.
No.
I'm not jealous that he made $100,000. I don't think he cheated to make $100,000.
No.
I don't try to spread rumors because I didn't make $100,000 that he must have hired five other people to go run with him.
No.
Or he bought the fur, or he saved the fur, or whatever. I'm just tickled to death there's a trapper that made that much jack.
No.
You know, because that tells me it's out there.
Yeah, like I say, I might fall out there to Pennsylvania this year, and I didn't even know that. I mean, I knew he caught a lot of fox, but I didn't know he caught that many. But I mean, talking to him, in fact, I hauled some stuff back from Michigan from Pennsylvania for him, from some bat removal stuff for another guy here. But talking to him, you wouldn't know he was any different than a guy that just caught one muskrat all season. You know, I mean, he just seems like a normal, nice guy, you know. But yeah, I'm glad he got that. I don't begrudge him nothing. I mean, you know, nobody gave it to him.
Well, I don't know, and anybody listening to this show, I'm thinking about doing something on Wolfer Nation, and I've asked Jeff earlier what a better name would be, because Cindy's dad watches my Facebook, so I can't say this, but I want something that can get the point across without being vulgar in the way I say it. And what I wanted to call these new blog posts I was going to do were Ass Clown Awards. But because Cindy's dad would get upset at that, I won't be able to say that, because I can't ever post them to Facebook where he's going to see it. So what I'm looking for, what I want to do is, when you hear really, really just vindictive and just insulting type stuff on people, if you kind of like sit back and really think about it, they don't make sense. An example is LT Gray. I had a guy call me, and he was self-righteous in the way he said this. I can't believe you, a military man, would have anything to do with LT. Now, LT's a friend, you know, and I've been out of state with him. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking that we were doing, but he was like, I can't believe you were with LT because he's a draft dodger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sitting there thinking, going, well, that don't seem like LT. Well, then I start thinking back, well, wait a minute, LT is only like 5 years older than me. So I was born in 69. So that means he was like five. So how could he be a draft dodger if he was like 5 or 6 years old?
Don't let the facts get in the way of the story.
Yeah, exactly. and when I brought it up to this guy, he absolutely dismissed what I asked and went about coming up with more stuff about what LT was doing. And I got to thinking, I was like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And then I was talking to a friend that, and I'm not going to mention a guy's name because he's in the he sells stuff in the trapping industry from out west. And he traps bobcats, and he goes, yeah, Clint and them don't catch that much cats. They actually go into California and shoot them. And I'm like going, and I've heard this like 30 times, Jeff.
Where do you go? I want to get out there and get
them. Well, California. But you know, the interesting thing is, I've never been to California. Not on vacation, not to go to the Pacific Ocean. I've never been in the state of California.
Yeah.
But how many hundreds or thousands of people have heard that I don't trap the bobcats, I shoot them in California?
Yeah.
You know, and I guarantee you, the person that said that was trying to find some way to justify why he didn't catch as many cats as we were having pictures of.
Yeah.
So he had to come up with a reason, because obviously it's not the place I was at or the ability or the skill level or the work ethic. It had to be cheating. And that's what I want to do. When I hear some of these rumors, and I just got to come up with a name so everybody kind of knows what it is. But when you hear something like this, say what the rumor is, and then it's absolutely show why it's asinine.
Yeah.
At least one...
What we need is you know, and these deals is, because there's a lot of good guys out there, you know, if they hear stuff like this, you know, I mean, they need to dispel it or just don't, you know, get involved in, you know, with those people, you know. It's like Jason Webster from Facebook, you know, I mean, but he's not, he goes out and, I mean, he's interested in the lure business, he wants to go out to the trapping, you know, and I mean, you know, it's guys like that. You know, and I've seen him, you know, dispel stuff on Facebook before, you know, because people were spreading lies about one guy. And, you know, but, I mean, you get guys like that to get involved, you know. I mean, this doesn't all have to be negative all the time, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to be fighting and arguing, you know, tearing each other down. And, you know, I mean, I don't care who you are. You don't like people bad-mouthing you. You know, all I do is just block them. But, you know. I mean, I just think it gets ridiculous. You know, like you're saying about the people saying, well, you went to California. I mean, I've heard stuff, you know, about, like, the Glover Cats and stuff. I mean, but, I mean, why would you lie? I mean, you know, you got the pictures of where you're catching the stuff. I mean, you know, I mean, the lies don't make no sense, but sometimes, like I say, don't let the facts get in the way of the lie, you know? Because
it's a better story. Have you ever heard, you know, the guy that You've been to a McDonald's before, back when they used to put all their stuff in those little styrofoam lid things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy that's got a patent on that. And he also has a patent on plastic spoons and forks and stuff like that. One of the wealthiest guys in America, way above, like, Bill Gates and people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a little bitty sign in his office when you come in there. And he's a very prim and proper guy, but he's got this sign behind his desk, and it says, "Life's too short to deal with assholes."
Yeah.
You know, and anybody that comes in there, and his philosophy's always been, if someone's always going to be negative or bitter or jealous or all that type of stuff, he found out it's better in his life just to get away from them, like you said about blocking.
Yeah. You're not gonna get, you're not gonna in an argument on the Facebook with somebody. You're not gonna win. No. I mean, you might as well just block them. You know, and I don't want to be arguing. I've only got so much time to be on there anyway. So, you know, I'd rather be helping, you know, some young guy that, you know, just had a box pump all over a sudden. He can't understand why. You know, and arguing and fighting with some other person.
Right.
Because you're not gonna win. I mean, you know, it ain't like you can grab them by the throat and, you know, take care of the problem. You know,
isn't it a shame that we don't live in the 1800s sometimes? I mean, I love those old Western movies. Why did you shoot him? Because he deserved it. Okay.
You know. I can relate. Like I told you before, at one time I signed a draw on them people.
Well, let's get on to something. You know, I just wanted to, in an open format, just to have people think about some of this. If you're partaking in a lot of this stuff that's going on online, think about what you're actually doing, you know, to somebody or to, you know, either you're trying to make someone new look stupid, or you're trying to figure out, jump on a dog pile of somebody because obviously they got to be cheating if they're doing something better than somebody else. I mean, think about really what that is, because of, like I said, what I'm seeing now through social media, a lot of it's no different than what PETA or the Humane Society does. And if you don't think they're going to take those posts and that stuff like that and use it somewhere down the road, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're giving them information. You're giving them firepower, even though most of it's lies.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't care. They'll twist their own. And, you know, it don't matter what you say. It only matters what they show you said. You know?
Right. Yeah. You know, they don't have to have proof. Well, they said it themselves. This is what trappers say. You know.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, most 99% of the guys are great. You know, I mean, they, you know, help. But I don't know why. It's like human nature. You have a, 100 good experiences and then you have one bad one, and the bad one seems to stick out in your mind. I don't, you know, so I mean, that kind of why it sticks out more, but why that is, you know, I don't know.
Well, to me, I really wish that when someone started a bunch of nonsense just out of spite, trappers would do the right thing and either ignore them or absolutely just embarrass the dog snot out of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of that would go away.
Yeah, you know, nobody wants 100 people or 1,000 people on Facebook slamming them. I'm sure that ain't no fun.
No, it's not. Well, let's get on to something a little trapping besides the interweb type stuff. You're going down to Louisiana.
Yep.
And are you going to be doing your road trapping for predators again? Is that where you do that at?
I'll be doing that, but I'll be trapping everything, you know, but I'll be doing that, but I don't know, I've been thinking about the otters been really on my mind here, so I probably, you know, I'm just going to drive down the road, and if I see something to say, I'm going to say it, if it's, you know, predators or otter, or, you know, that's usually how I trap anyways.
So you're going to concentrate on otters then?
No. I just, you know... I'll go out of my way to set for an otter, if, you know, but a lot of times when I'm going out like to a bridge, I'll have a 3 DPs in my bag, and I have, two 330s in the stance, and, you know, and if I see a good, if I'm just planning on trapping otter, I'll set every creek I come to, no matter what, I'll put otter sets in there, because even if I don't find a good spot, a lot of times I'll learn, you know, if you only set the best spots, you never learn any other set. So if you set bad spots, sometimes you get a chunk of gold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I usually, you know, carry, you know, them 330s with me. If I see a good spot down there, you know, if I'm trapping coon, I'll, you know, put in a couple otter sets.
Well, how do you, okay, so when you're, help me work through this, because one of the things in my personal experience, whenever I tried to trap everything, it never really worked out right.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the different equipment and looking, and it may be because I'm just simple-minded, but if I have a hard time going from bobcats to otter to coon to, you know, fox to dry land to water, how do you keep that organized when you do that?
It's just a mindset. Like when you're setting an otter, if you're just set, a lot, sometimes I'll set them together, but a lot, most of the time, you know, I'll go like put the coon set, I'll put the otter sets out, or I'll put the coon sets out, whatever way you want it, and then the next trip through, you know, I'll set the next set. Usually, I try and set the otter sets and the coon sets, because otter sets usually take a little bit longer. The coon sets, you can just pop them right in. But where the problem comes in is that when you stop to make a land set, it takes longer usually to put them in. So you just got to say, no matter what, I'm stopping. I don't care how long it takes. You know, extra. If I don't get in 100, 150 DPs in a day, so be it. Because sooner or later, at first it won't make sense, but as you get doing it, what happens is, that sooner or later, you left the DPs too long. Or you left the otter traps too long, and you're not catching nothing on that, but you'll start picking stuff up still in the land sets. So, you know, it ain't like a wasted run, mm-hmm. You know. So, you know, every time I get a little bit sloppier, a little bit lazy, and think I don't want to put, you know, take the time to set them, I'll set them next time. I just stop and set them because I know that in the end, I'm going to be glad I did, you know. You know, if I get 2 inches of rain, the creeks might rise, and I might, you know, I might not catch no otters, you know, where, you know, the way I got my trap set up down there, it'll take about 1.5 inches, 2 inches of rain, so I'll still, you know, catch some, you know, land animal.
Okay. So you're kind of running somewhat of a progressive line. I mean, you're doing one or two things, and then you're just filling in behind,
yep.
as you're checking.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm telling you, every time I tried to set everything, I didn't get very far.
Yeah, the main thing is having your truckle, and it starts off real good, and the end it gets like a nightmare. But, you know, the main thing is like having your truck organized, like have all your land trapping set, stuff sets over here, you know, Coon's stuff over here, I'm like, I put the 330s in the front, the 280s behind that, and the 220s behind that. You know, the more organized it is, the easier it is. And, you know, as you get in, you know, pulling and stuff, you know, it's easy just to throw the, you know, the DPs in there with the cables on them and everything and sort them all there. But if you just stop and do it, you know, it isn't such a big, you know, it's easier to keep it organized. And I'm a very disorganized person, but I force myself when I'm trapping to try and stay as organized as possible.
I'm not with you on that.
Yeah.
I wish I could say that I was.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you're talking about Norm goes nuts when he goes with me. But I know I can get to everything. It just looks like you put it in the back of whatever vehicle I'm in from a backhoe.
Yeah. But it's hard to stop when you're pulling and wind up them cables and do all that. I mean, I know. I've done that. That's why I wind them all up and everything now.
So when you go to pull your one trap out, you don't have to just like hook it to a tree and drive out from under it.
No.
And I've had to do that.
I've done that before. I've come back from down south like that before. Just throw everything in the truck and go.
Right. So the place you're at, you don't know where you're staying because the roof fell in.
No, not yet, I don't. They said I could still stay there, but you know, I don't know. I like to have a roof.
You big wuss.
Well, they said that, you know, they said, well, you can close that door, put a tarp over it, just one, you know, one or two bedrooms the roof fell off of. But, you know, I mean, if you get like 10 inches of rain, that seems like it would wash under the door or around the door or something. But, you know, I don't know. Me and the Swedes are probably going to have to stay there, so.
You know, I wish over the years I'd have thought to video every place that I've stayed. You know, and that would just be a wild video. If everybody were to video just a 2-minute clip of everywhere they stay when they go out of state, and
yeah,
someone put it all together, I guarantee you that'd be the most entertaining thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this won't be, even with the roof gone, this won't be the worst place I've stayed. But, you know, I mean, when you're 25 or, you know, 26, something like that, it ain't as bad. You know, you get up to 40. You don't want to stay in places as bad.
Well, I had a friend that was Randy Smith, who it is, and he was staying in a trailer in Indiana, and they finally figured out how to get the heat going. But there was a certain temperature they couldn't let it get above. Because if it got above a certain temperature, all the bugs would start coming out of the walls.
No.
So they had to stay cold the whole time, or they would get overran by all these, I guess, roaches and I don't know what else.
Yeah.
In this trailer.
Me and them could trap together, because I wouldn't want them running all over me either. We could keep it at 10 degrees as long as all them cockroaches don't come home.
So is that going to be like your last hurrah for the year, Louisiana?
No, I'll come back here to Michigan probably mid-March, and that'll be, you know, towards mid-March to the end of March will be our breakup, and then beaver season runs till, you know, like April 14th, something like that. I think the UP runs longer on throat strings, but that'll be when I am, April 14th.
Now, can you catch muskrats at the same time?
Yeah, you're only allowed I think it's 5, you know, accidentals, but, you know, I mean, it's still $60, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. So, what's the Jeff Dunlap get off the couch and whatever for someone that wants to go out of state? Because to me, I don't think you can really get a grasp on the whole nature of trapping if you do it in your backyard.
No, it's definitely different going out of state, because, you know, it's like when I get down there, you know, here I still got, you know, I got, the, you know, the wife and, you know, and you got kids to deal with and situations. And, you know, you get down there, you know, it's all you got to think about is, where am I going to run tomorrow? after I get done running this line, what am I going to do? You know, so, you know, where am I going to put a new one? You know, so, I mean, it's trapping 24/7. That's all you know, unless you get a phone call at home from home that's bad or something, you know, I mean, it's trapping 24/7. I mean, it don't get no better than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that to me, that's one of the reasons I like Texas so much is it. That's what it is. It's 24/7, you know. Yeah. And after like 60 days, I can tell you, I want a break. You know, some people may find that hard to believe, but there comes a point you just need a break because we don't take weekends off or anything. So, you know, but it's a you know, with you going down to Louisiana, I'm jealous because that's. Besides Texas, that's probably one of my most favorite states that I've ever trapped in. The people, the land, the animals, everything.
I definitely fell in love with Louisiana. If it wasn't so hot in the summertime, I'd probably move down there. You know, but, you know, being of Norwegian descent, I don't fit 120 degrees. You know, I was melt right away in that.
Well, it ain't fat boy friendly down there in the summer. I mean, no. There ain't no.
I mean, if it only melted about, you know, 70 pounds away, I'd be fine. But I think the whole thing would go.
Well, that could be the Jeff Dunlap diet plan, 120 degrees.
It wouldn't be. It would just be the Jeff Dunlap and air conditioning diet plan.
So I've got to ask you a couple of things before we close. What is it like to be a movie star now since you're on one of the F&T shows? How has that changed your life?
I'm a movie star. it was interesting going out with Alan. He's kind of, you know, intimidating with that big booming voice. And, you know, you always got to be watching out for him. But it was pretty cool going out shooting. I mean, it's different than shooting, you know, because, like, you're shooting trapping videos, a lot of times, you know, you're by yourself, so you got to kind of set it up and, or, you know, just hire somebody that really don't know nothing more than you do about, you know, shooting this stuff or with the wind. But it's interesting to go out and, you know, see a professional shoot if you've never seen that before, and how he works the camera and, you know, and different, you know, how you do this and do that. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, still 100%, you know, out there, you know, catching and trapping. Like, I had my line on, he just ran with me, but, you know, it's just, you know, as you, you know, stand over here where the light's better and stuff like that, it's kind of, you know, it's different.
Well, can I get you to say what he wanted you to act that time, because that was the funniest thing you told me today.
But do what?
When Alan wanted you to act a certain way when you came up on a raccoon, do you feel comfortable telling that?
Probably not.
Okay. Okay. Well,
and I want to be coming out here trying to kill me.
Oh, mercy. And you've got some international visitors coming to Louisiana.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to hear what that was like.
No, that's what Norm keeps saying, telling me about every day. He's more excited about this than they are coming, I think. Because he said they're going to be nothing but stories for years to come. I don't want to, like, you know, nobody warned me about Sawbriars, so I mean, I don't want to, it's like a, you know, rite of passage. I don't want to tell these guys, these Swedish guys, about the, them Sawbriars, so I'm just going to tell them, go down and check, run down there and check them two traps down there, and I'm going to have a camera out when they meet their Sawbriars. I don't know what will happen when the Swedish guys hit the Sawbriars, but it's going to be interesting.
Or the first time they pull a 4-foot gator out of a beaver channel.
Yeah, because they keep asking me about, you know, well, they want me to get a snake bite kit and carry it with me and, you know, for them. You know, I told myself I don't think we can carry one of them, but. So, it's going to be interesting with them, too.
Have you ever met them before, Jeff?
No, but they're supposed to be, real good. One guy, I never even talked to, but the other guy at Gorin, he's supposed to be some, you know, pretty good marten trapper for, you know, for Sweden. I mean, they don't catch the numbers over there like, you know, our guys here in the States catch, but hey, we're Americans. What do you expect?
That's right. I can almost hear Star Spangled Banner after you said that.
You bet
Well, I tell you what, at the end of the show, that's what I'll play, just for that comment. Right.
No, they seem like real nice guys, and, you know, they wanted to come over, and, you know, they've been over in Trap, Michigan, I guess, but, you know, they wanted to come over and learn how to, you know, trap down south, and, you know, so it'll be an interesting time. There'll be some, you know, pretty good footage come out of it, so...
Well, you need to make sure they eat crawfish and boudin balls and blood sausage and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were already, I was telling them about eating crawfish, and I said, they call them mud buds. He says, however they speak in Norway, or Sweden. He says, I don't eat no bugs. You're going to eat these bugs, and they're going to like it.
Or back down through the briar patch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can, you know, when you get around those subwires, you can really torture somebody. they're gonna have the time of their life, I imagine.
Well, that's cool, man. We talked a little bit about trapping, and that other stuff we talked about. It's just one of those things that it's kind of like. Everybody's been behind everybody's back. Everybody talks about it, but no one says it in public. So,
no. So
I don't know if it was a smart thing or not, or whatever. But it's going live here in a couple of days. So,
yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, like I say, most of the guys, you know, I mean, when you put this up, there's gonna be, every person who listens to this is gonna think of a person that they know on an internet thing that is like that. Mm. So, if you know, I mean, if it ain't true, they wouldn't think of that. Mm. You know, but
I just wish we could get away from it, because that's the dark side of the internet that I really don't like, and I really like the internet just because of everything it can do. But that
I'd like to get away from, you know, the negativity. And like I said, I try to stay away from as much as possible. Sometimes, you know, you're just drawn into it, but I mean, 20 years ago, when me and you were, you know, you come out of high school, there was no opportunity to get on, really, on Facebook or nothing like this and trade a trip with somebody in Texas, or, you know, trade a trip with, you know, they come here and I'll go to Alabama trapping. There was none of that. I mean, there's such opportunities, you know, out there, and that should be what is concentrated on, stuff like that. I mean, take you know, advantage of what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you're scared to go on an out-of-state trip, and don't have the money to rent a place, you know, maybe you get hooked up with a buddy that he's got some, you met on the internet. He lives in Ohio, you live in Indiana, and you guys are going to go down there together. You know, I mean, there's a ton of opportunities.
No, that's one thing about the internet is it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's... Well, we're going to do our trapping TV thing next year. That all came together because of the internet. You know, and it's going to be in Mississippi. I got contacted by, seems like a really, really nice guy. And we just got to talking, and he's like, you know, I can help y'all out. And for no other reason besides he's just a nice guy, you know.
Yeah.
And before the internet, that wouldn't have worked. I just wish all that other stuff would, you know, I guess it'll never go away, but. I wish it could, you know, we could regulate that.
Yeah, man, I've went and met lifelong friends only because of the internet and Facebook. Like my buddy Jerry Stevens down in Texas, Andy Hoyt, Allenson. You know, I mean, I have them as friends the rest of my life. If it wasn't for Facebook, I would have never met them guys, mm-hmm. You know. So.
Well, I just wish I think we as an industry can self-regulate that.
Yeah.
You know, and I really wish we would as individual trappers and have the backbone to do that.
I think this will get some guys thinking about it, and, you know, and because, like I say, most of them are real good guys, and, you know, they don't do that. They don't like it. They don't even get involved in it. But, you know, maybe they'll, you know, see it going on sometime and, you know, shut it down.
Well, I want to know how many otter you're going to come back with, Jeff. What's the goal?
The goal is enough to pay some bills. I don't know. If I got 54 again this year, I'd be happy. But I told Norm, I says, if I do hit 100 of, you know, caught otter, I said, my first stop is Dunlap, Tennessee. So I says, Clint better have a pin made up, even if there ain't one.
You catch an otter, dude, and we will do something. You catch 100 of them.
100.
Yeah, dude. I mean that's like the 54 is respectable. There's no doubt about that. But the 100 otter a year club, that's kind of like the minimum to get anything.
Yeah, but the worst part is 2 years ago, I hit 90 and I couldn't hit 100. So that was a real killer. I was even at the point that year where I didn't even care if I made anything. It was just like keep pounding forward and I hit that 100. I mean, I was driving like 100, 125 miles to hit the first trap. I didn't even care. I just wanted that 100.
Oh, dude, I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I remember the first year I did that, really. It was, that was such a driving force because I was meeting guys at conventions that were doing 100.
Yeah.
You know, and that just, I just wanted, even if they were $10 a piece, I wanted that 100 otter.
Yeah.
Something fierce.
Yeah. There'll come a point when it doesn't even about them. I mean, you got to have the money to pay the bills and stuff, but, when you start getting close to what your dream goal is, it's just like just pounding forward no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Because that's to me, that's what a lot of trapping is. That's you're going to learn a lot to do 100 otter. You'll always have that with you, and you're always going to have the memories of doing that.
Yeah.
And you don't meet very many people that have done that, especially outside of trapping. I mean, it's just, it's a lot more specialized than even a doctor. I mean, because
that. Yeah. That's what my dad would always say, but you got $1 million education that you can't make $30,000 on, so.
I need to, next time I come to Alpena, I'm going to definitely stop. I want to meet your dad. Is he in Alpena or where's he at?
He's up to Fairbanks right now. But I'm trying to get him to come to the National, so I'm still prying on him.
Well, let's just go to Fairbanks. Screw Alpena.
let's wait till about June. Right after the PA convention, we'll fly out of there.
That'll work, man.
Yeah, it's like 50 below there now, so that'd be worse than here.
Mm-hmm. Well, You would laugh right now. It's 36 here.
Yeah. That's short weather.
I did have the air on in the Jeep as I was checking traps today.
Yeah, but, it's like, when I leave here and I go to Louisiana, when you get down there for like a week, you start getting more regulated to their temperatures down there. And when I first get down there, I'll be like in a t-shirt. But after like a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, you're wearing as heavy coats as what they're wearing,
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, I hope you break that otter. If you do, we'll come up with some type of celebration.
Okay. I'll be pounding on them, trying to see what's going to happen here.
And if not, I may have to come up with something to let everybody know you didn't do it. So maybe that way, if you get a little tired, you never know what I'll come up with when it comes to something like that.
That is true. I'm going to make me up my little sign and put it right up there on the pink tape.
There you go. It's pretty powerful. Well, all right, but we better get off here. I don't know how long we've been talking, but it seemed like I think we're probably a long show.
All right.
And I'll find out. Well, stay in touch while you're down there so I can hear what the Swedes are doing. All right, brother. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man. Yeah, bye.
Twice. my skin.